Ah, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Ask Bill. Now, Ask Bill is a monthly segment where I answer some of the questions I've received during the month from emails, in person, via phone calls, or through online portals such as BiggerPockets or Quora, for example. Before I get started, though, I just want to touch base with you and let you know, thank you for listening. We appreciate so much that you take the time to listen to us, and we hope that this podcast has been helpful for you in your real estate investing efforts. One thing that we just encourage is that if you get the opportunity, we'd love you to go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. I know you can do that also through, I think, Stitcher and Google Play, iHeartRadio, but iTunes is the one that really gives us the most exposure to folks. And if you subscribe and give us a rating and review, that really helps get the word out to other folks. So we would just love if you would take the time to do that to help support the podcast. Well, let me get started. Today, I've got three questions. Okay, my first question here is, what are the most effective strategies to identify, market, and close deals with high net worth individuals in real estate? Now, this is one of those questions, as I looked at it, I really realized that I personally feel the best way to even connect with people that are high net worth individuals that may be potential investors for your real estate project is really just by being a person of high integrity, strong moral convictions, and to create a verifiable track record of successful real estate projects. I mean, put yourself in their shoes. You know, this is their hard-earned money, and those funds they're going to want to put with somebody that they trust. And it's just that simple. Be the kind of person you would want to invest your hard-earned funds with, right? So, you know, I think seriously, a person's character is foremost to me, and I need to know that that person is honest, forthright, and beyond reproach. And if you can meet that criteria, the same high standards that you would hold for somebody you were going to invest your own funds with, then, you know, I believe that's the kind of person that people, they're going to find out about you and seek you out. But by far, I think it's just the best way to build those relationships. You also mentioned in that question is your, you know, effective strategies to identify and market. Well, in other words, I feel, you know, where do you find those individuals and how do you make contact with them? I feel that one of the sort of best kept secrets that I found out about is what's called family offices. Now, a family office is an exclusive wealth management firm that usually only accepts clients with 10 to 25 million in investable securities. And they spend more time with each client and spend time assisting with things like tax optimization, estate planning, charitable giving, business transfer, wealth transfer through generations, philanthropy, and even ongoing insurance issues. I mean, they're a little bit more than, let's say, an accountant or a CPA in that they work specifically with their clients to act as advisors and consultants on all their personal financial matters. There are, I guess, roughly 2,000 to 3,000 family offices, and they control a massive amount of wealth. The average client size is probably 30 to 50 million. They represent, as I mentioned, you know, families. I mean, literally like families, like Mark Cuban's family or Larry Ellison or whoever it may be. And they are investing their personal funds in various instruments to be able to generate the maximum return for them. I had a podcast interview with the founder and CEO of the Family Office Club, which is an international organization run by Richard Wilson. And the Family Office Club, it's an organization that represents these people who run these family offices for different families. They hold regular meetings, conferences, and even specialized events geared to real estate investing, angel funding, or commodities, depending on the investment type. In my interview with Richard, he shares how you can access this elite group of individuals to present your real estate deals. And so, you know, not to reiterate everything that he went over, but you can get information on that if that is something of interest to you on the Old Dog website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And look for episode 015. It's called Where to Find $100 Million Net Worth Investors. But again, I can't emphasize enough, if you really want to do business with the high net worth individuals, you need to be the kind of person you would want to handle your money. Okay, our second question here. What happens to old people? I'm just reading them exactly as I got them. What happens to old people who don't save up for their retirement? Okay, I guess I fall into that category as one of those old people. And I also basically am one of those individuals who did not prepare well for retirement. Not being prepared for retirement is really an ominous situation. I have firsthand experience at age 60 or as I was approaching 60. I was about to leave the mission field. I had been pretty much living by faith for the last 20 years. And I had to really take a look at, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now from this point forward? And I started to weigh my various options. Now, retirement is like one of those things like a traffic ticket, taxes, car maintenance. Okay, if you ignore it, it's still going to come back and bite you in, when you least suspect it. And it's better to prepare. I really think that if you have that opportunity, you should do everything you can to make sure that you can be well prepared for your retirement. So when I came back from Haiti after being in the mission field, I was looking at my various options. And, you know, as part of it was going to work, maybe starting a small business. I looked at aspects like, you know, Social Security. I wasn't of the age yet to start collecting it, but I was, you know, looking at, well, will that make much of a difference? And while I was assessing that, and I was actually trying out different types of online businesses and experimenting with, you know, various ways to be able to supplement my retirement years, and by the grace of God, I received an unexpected small inheritance check, and I thought of investing it. But, you know, I was already in the stock market, and I always already felt like I had too much funds in that area already. I wanted to diversify and decided to buy rental properties. Actually, while I was still in Haiti, I hopped on an airplane and flew to two different cities that I thought would be good areas to invest in after doing some research, and ended up buying three houses. You know, this was in the South where you can pick up houses for $30,000 to $50,000 each. And these were homes that were what are called turnkey. They're fixed up and had renters already. I flew back to Haiti, and the next month I started receiving income, rental income checks. So, this is pretty nice. This is great. This will be something to supplement my retirement. But then I really, as I started reading more, listening to real estate investing podcasts, attending webinars, and researching online, I began to feel that real estate investing really could be that area that I could focus more on to base my retirement on. So I started looking deeper and set the goal to acquire 1,000 units by 2020, a pretty aggressive goal. But I wanted to make sure again that I had the properties in place to generate the cash flow that would not only support us in our retirement years, but would also help our nonprofit activities in Haiti. And would also leave a legacy for my kids. So I currently have 28 units. I'm looking to buy a 100-unit apartment as soon as I find the right property there. My goal is to double the number of units I have each year until 2020, and that's how I hope to reach 1,000 units. I really knew nothing about real estate when I got started, other than, you know, buying my own homes and so forth. Now I love what I do. Neat thing about it is I'm learning new stuff. I'm keeping my mind active because, you're always learning new things. Got into the area of blogging and podcasting to let other folks out there that are in similar situations learn about real estate investing to see if that's for them. Not everyone's going to get an unexpected inheritance check in the mail, but maybe, you know, there's equity in your home or a savings account or someone you can borrow from to get started in real estate investing. The funds that I generated from that first investment, you know, brought in, you know, close to $3,000 a month in rental income. And that was a nice little boost. And, you know, by expanding that and growing that, you can generate the kinds of funds that you want to be able to retire. And I'm not going to pretend it's, the perfect get rich quick type of secret here. It's not much of a secret. In fact, quite the contrary. If anything, it requires a lot of hard work to get started. And I'm putting in a lot of time to get this up and going. But if you're willing to get educated, roll up your sleeves, and work hard for a few years, it can be maybe the solution for you or maybe other ones out there that have procrastinated and didn't really prepare for their retirement. If you want additional information on why I chose real estate investing, again, there's a podcast I did where I explained the 10 main reasons why I chose real estate investing. And that's, again, on our website at olddogsreinetwork.com. And it's episode 140, 10 reasons why I started investing in real estate in my 60s. Final question. Thanks so much for your great, this is a letter from a guy named Josh. It says, thanks very much for your great podcast. It's not that great. These are his words. Okay. I'm just getting started in real estate investing and I'm under contract for a single family home in the Midwest. I live in California, but I'm planning to set up an LLC in Michigan where the property is. I've heard from other sources that I can set up a holding LLC in Wyoming for the Michigan LLC and any others I may create out of California. But I'm wondering if I need to set up an LLC here in California, pay the $800 plus per year. What do you do? Any other thoughts? Okay, well, first off, congratulations, Josh, on your investment property purchase. Great move. I, too, live in California. Yes, I don't have much choice, but at least right now, my kids and grandkids are here, most of them. It just seems to be the place to be. But purchasing investment property in California is a little bit limited. So I purchase properties out of state. To answer your question, first thing I'm going to say is I'm not an attorney, and the best advice should come from an attorney familiar with LLCs and asset protection laws. My attorney that helped me set up mine is Garrett Sutton, who was a guest on my show. You can check out episode 011. Who wrote an excellent book on this subject entitled Start Your Own Corporation. He is also part of the Rich Dad organization and works with Robert Kiyosaki. The way I work with investments is I opened a Wyoming LLC as my main holding LLC. Now, why Wyoming? Well, Wyoming and Nevada both have the types of LLCs where you don't have to necessarily put your personal name on the public record, although it's in the records, it's not in the public record. And that just helps, again, with the asset protection aspect. I chose Wyoming over Nevada because it actually has more reasonable annual fees over Nevada. Now, my Wyoming LLC is registered in California, even though I sign up for it in Wyoming. I do pay the annual $800 a year fee in California because that is my primary holding LLC. Now, when I purchase properties in other states, I open an LLC in that state, and that LLC comes under my Wyoming LLC. In addition, I have also a living family trust that the Wyoming LLC comes under, and that way, not only are my personal assets protected under the LLC, so for example, if somebody in Memphis If something happens, they want to sue you. They really are first, they have to get through that first LLC that is set up in Tennessee. And then from there, they have to go to the Wyoming LLC. And so it's just a means, again, of setting up protection to protect your personal assets from any kind of lawsuits, which, you know, this is the country where there are a lot of lawsuits, and you need to set up your protections there. So the reason why I have the Wyoming LLC, which is my main holding LLC coming under my family living trust, is that one, you know, not only is there the protection there, but should I pass away, all of my assets will go directly to my heirs, and they will not be subject to the ridiculous California probate taxes that are just crazy. I hope that answered your question, Josh. That is it for today. I really want to thank you guys for listening. Everything presented here, I mentioned a number of shows that there would be links to. I'll put in their contact information for Garrett Sutton if anyone's interested. And all that's at our website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And look for the Ask Bill episode. In there will be all the show notes, a recap of the things I've talked about, and the applicable links. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king, real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.